This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
We start the new year with some key achievements for the U.S. and new deals with our trading partners. Joining us to discuss is Chris Galen, Senior VP of Membership Services and Strategic Initiatives with the National Milk Producers Federation. Chris, let's start with the latest trade deal with our neighbors to the north and south, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
Yes, so the big battle over USMCA was in the House of Representatives, where the process dragged on through the last few months of last year. But in the end, they passed it on a pretty wide margin. And then this past week, the Senate passed by 89-10, the USMCA, and I think the president's going to sign it here in the next few days, or certainly by the end of the month, because it's one of the marquee items that he talked about when he was running for election 4 years ago. And I'm sure he'll be talking about it again here as we get back into the campaign season in earnest here in 2020. For the U.S. dairy sector, getting the USMCA done was very important because it normalizes relations with our number one export market, which is Mexico. And then regarding Canada, it gives us some additional market access, not a huge amount, but a bit, and it eliminates classes 6 and 7 of the Canadian pricing system, which were a real big thorn in our side, and it's something that Canada negotiated away as part of the deal. So lots of progress with two of our biggest export markets, and it'll all be done once the agreement is signed by the president, and then it also has to be passed by the Canadian Parliament.
Well, since the last time we spoke, there was also the signing of the Phase 1 trade agreement with China. How does this affect the dairy industry?
Well, at this point, the biggest thing is that it takes us back from the brink because there had been a series of escalating tariffs and counter-tariffs imposed by the U.S. and China over the past year and a half. And this Phase 1 deal, which was signed last week in a big White House ceremony, allows us then to sort of turn down the volume. There is some incremental progress for the U.S. dairy sector, Bill, in the sense that there's going to be some additional sales of whey, permeate, and infant formula. But we still have some tariffs on China. They still have some tariffs on us. And until those tariffs get lifted, it's going to really decrease in the short term how much more dairy product sales will happen. However, one of the things that was agreed to as part of Phase 1 is that China is going to ease off on some of the non-tariff trade barriers that have been restricting our ability to sell products. They're going to help smooth out product registrations and facilities registrations that have been used as an impediment to sales there, and that's going to help U.S. exporters. But probably the bigger long-term potential of exports to China won't be realized until we're talking about the Phase 2 agreement, and I don't think that's going to appear until after the elections.
Another trading partner and competitor is the EU. Where do we stand with them?
Well, it looks like the president has the European Union in his sights for the next big trade deal. He was in Switzerland at the Davos meeting earlier this week and was talking to counterparts from different countries. And so that's going to be, I think, a big long-term project. Europe is still a very tough nut for U.S. dairy exporters to crack, and so there's certainly potential there, but we have to make certain that we do things the right way. And a big issue, of course, of what they have been trying to do here and have been doing it successfully in some cases is claw back the names of common foods, cheeses in particular, you know, products like feta and Havarti and Parmesan. And that's something we've been very adamant about, that if we're going to have freer trade, whether it's with Europe or any other country, you have to expand the terms and the possibilities of trade rather than reduce them. So that's going to be a big battle between the U.S. and Europe, and it's something to keep an eye on as this situation plays out if we do end up in serious negotiations with Europe in the coming years.
Progress continues to be made, as you mentioned. There's still a lot to keep track of as we enter this new decade in trading with the world.
Yes. As 2019 wound down, there were a lot of unanswered questions about what was going to happen with USMCA, with China, and with other countries. We're starting to see now the fruits of a lot of the negotiations of the past few years, even though we still have to get to that second phase with China, and there are plenty of other countries and regions in the world where we need to continue banging away. We need to finish terms with Japan, as an example, and there are plenty of other Asian countries that represent good long-term prospects for the U.S. dairy sector. So certainly we've got our work cut out for us as we get into 2020.
Thanks for the update, Chris. Chris Galen, Senior VP of Membership Services and Strategic Initiatives with the National Milk Producers Federation. More details at nmpf.org. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.